Exchange, episode number 143. And the Boston Celtics are your NBA champions.
I'm so shocked.
Yay. Ooh, fucking Boston.
It's not like people have been saying this since fucking it's January that this is the team to beat. And it was pretty clear cut and dry.
Exactly. It felt like this wasn't a surprise. Definitely a very underwhelming finals. I was expecting more out of Dallas. Boston, I mean.
There was nothing Dallas could have done. I said this, and this is, people are going to think, oh, you're just glazing the Cavs. But if you look at it matchup-wise, I'm telling you, if you look at it matchup-wise, just like strictly based off of the team, I'm not saying they were going to beat them. I'm just saying that was the team in the East that was the only team that was going to give them problems. I didn't think any other team in the East would. And the only team in the West I thought would have given problems was Denver. And look what happened to Denver. So
I don't know. But nonetheless, Celtics are your NBA champions for the 18th time in franchise history. Jaylen Brown is your MVP, not Jason Tatum. We did it.
Snubbed. Tatum got snubbed.
We did it. Here's the thing. I love Jason Tatum with all my heart because of Duke, but my God, the shit that he was doing. He just speaks in memes. He just speaks in memes.
Yeah, but this is, it's like, come on. I mean, this seems like an Andre Iguodala type thing where he's like, oh, he shut down LeBron. Like, no, like, he didn't. Like, Jason Tatum led every statistical category in the NBA Finals, like, average-wise for points, rebounds, like, fifth player all time to do it. And I know, but they snubbed him.
I just think that the performance of Jaylen Brown in Game 3 and then Luka just pulling that bullshit. Oh, my God.
Talk about Luka, guy who can't play defense. That's going to ruin him for the rest of his career.
He's a defensive liability. And you saw Brian Windhorst's rant where he straight up was like every time that Luka got called for a foul, he was looking at the bench to review it, and it was almost as if it was the bench's fault for him fouling out because it wasn't a foul. Why are you trying to be situationally aware, Luka. Be situationally aware. You have five fouls with 4 minutes left, and you're trying to take a charge? Come on.
He also had, in these playoffs, the most blow-bys of any player. And I understand that's Dallas' sort of scheme, is they like to funnel guys to the lane and have their big men like lively, like contest shots down low in the paint, obviously. But, dude, just be a little bit more physical up front. You know, make it a little less difficult for Jaylen Brown to just run right by you, because it was a constant thing of, oh, we're in the paint now, and this is a Celtics team that finishes really well in the paint. You couldn't think of any... Come on, just make it a little more difficult. They got to the lane and finished with ease so many times. It was, I don't know. This seemed over before it started. We said it going into it. I wanted to see Dallas win, but everyone knew Boston was going to take it home.
Yep.
Wow.
We will dive into NBA news. Monty Williams has been fired yet again.
That bro in the last 2 years has made $85 million on just being fired.
I don't pity him. I don't pity him at all. He's being paid $100 million to sit on his ass.
You know who needs a head coach, though? Cleveland.
Cleveland needs a head coach.
Throw some fucking money at him. Come on.
The Lakers still need a head coach. The Danny Hurley rumor was the top rumor in all sports. And then the next day, he was like, nope, I'm staying.
And I just saw news, Rich Paul came out saying it is likely that LeBron and his son aren't going to be on the same team playing together.
All right.
And then I thought about that for a second, and I was like, that's just not true at all. That really is just not true at all.
Yeah, the agent, LeBron's agent, who has been tight with him since, childhood, you have the more inside information, right?
I'm just saying. Right. I think Rich Paul is out here saying all he's just trying to do is put a smokescreen, because we all know the Lakers are taking Bronny in the second round. Let's be honest here. So
maybe
it's just
maybe.
Yeah.
All right. We'll dive into NBA news. A lot of signings too. The free agency window, I believe, is open, if I'm not mistaken. Siakam gets a deal. We'll talk about all that.
Knicks have some drama.
Yeah, they do. We do have some drama.
OG.
All right, okay. All right, we'll talk about it. Stanley Cup. Go to six games. Go into six games.
McDavid's alive.
He's alive.
We have 6 points last game. I mean, he's fucking unbelievable.
It's on. I swear to God, I don't care if Florida wins this. I think you give the Conn Smythe.
Conn Smythe to McDavid.
I seriously think you get the Conn. It was Bob's to lose. I'll give him that. It was Bob's to lose. But after game four and game five, how could, like, come on?
I know. And after those first three games, I was like, it's either going to be Barkov or Bobrovsky. And then McDavid just absolutely refuses to die. And which is what we said going into this.
This team is refused to die. Like, that's the thing. This team, like, has refused to die.
Like we said going into this, I said it's going to take a miracle run for McDavid to get this done. And oh my God, is this guy, he literally skated. I mean, if anyone saw that assist he had where he skated through four dudes and just effortlessly. And then I want to say maybe a foot in front of the crease. Just slides one over through two guys' sticks for a one-timer. I mean, he's just unbelievable. I mean, he's really just unbelievable. Unreal.
He's unreal. Nonetheless, with the Stanley Cup still going on, moves have been made. A lot of trades have been made. The Rangers. Chris Cherry, you're a bad man. He's a bad motherfucker.
This might go to civil court, Stan. It's going to be just...
This might go to civil court. Oh my! We will explain what has happened with Barclay Goodrow. A lot of trades going on as well.
Isles make a signing
to the Devils. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his third team in 3 years, if I'm not mistaken.
This saga continues of PLD just refusing to give any effort. I'm not sure what's going to change in Washington. To be honest with you, I think maybe they're just going to try and get another goal scorer because I know they made the playoffs. That team kind of sucks.
They have a young coach, too. I feel like you want to trade him to a team that has a lot more structure.
You would think, and then they do that, and he's like, fuck you guys. Like, I'm just not going to try. And they're like, all right, but like, we're giving you $8 million. What the hell are we supposed to do with you? Put you on the fourth line? LA was having problems with him the whole year, so I'm just curious what Washington's going to do with him.
All right. Baseball, where were you when Grimace saved the Mets?
This is unbelievable. 8-1 in 7-1 in their last eight. I mean, it's just Stan. We're living in a new era here. This is a new Mets team. This is a playoff Mets team. Francisco Lindor's batting like .400 this month. I mean, this team's unbelievable right now.
Unreal. Yankees.
Yeesh.
Yeah, it's so hard to like decipher like what to think because on the one hand. We dodge a bullet with Aaron Judge. He's probably not going to play today. They play at 4 o'clock today. I think it's almost like the Juan Soto situation when we played the Dodgers where it's like, you know what, sit him this series. Maybe when he comes back, you DH him for a game, make sure he doesn't throw, and then go about it as if nothing happened. But this team has some glaring weaknesses.
Hey. Still doing better than the Mets.
That's honestly fair. Honestly fair. We'll talk baseball. U.S. Open, Bryson DeChambeau wins his second U.S. Open.
Rory. He hadn't missed a single one of those putts all year. Like, literally hadn't missed one from 3 feet. And then you choke. And in the biggest stage of your life.
Oh, God. That had to be worse than Dustin Johnson.
It definitely was.
That had to be worse than Dustin Johnson solely based on the fact that Rory had two chances. Like, he had two chances.
Two shitholes. And I'm thinking to myself, divorce back on? I mean...
Amanda, where are you?
You're not safe.
Where are you, Amanda? You're not safe. You're not safe. And then the Euros. The Euros kicked off last week. We got our future. We're locked in. Yeah. We're locked in. I will reveal who my future team is.
And some unfortunate Tottenham news we got.
we don't need to go into that, really. we don't really need to go into that.
Dinkor, what the hell are you doing? We'll leave it at that.
Why? Why are you saying that? And the fact that he, like, took to Twitter and, like, publicly apologized, like, to him. Like, that could have been a text message.
And, like that, I get it. That like, Sonny is your best player. What are you doing?
Dude, the face of the franchise.
I'm literally the face of the franchise and the face of Korean football. He is the best South Korean player of all time, almost. And you're like, I don't know, whatever. It is what it is.
Oh, my God. Disgusting. All right. Anyway, the Boston Celtics are your NBA champions.
And I want to shout out the Brooklyn Nets, the Portland Trail Blazers, the Washington Wizards. Without you four, you know, we wouldn't be in this hellhole.
Honestly, I wouldn't say the Trail Blazers. I say this is mostly Milwaukee because they opened that door. Like, you easily could have traded. Like, come on.
Well, it starts with
Drew
Brooklyn.
Holiday. I know it started. I know you could say it starts with Brooklyn, but like that was
what the hell was Brooklyn? I know we even go back to that. What the hell are you thinking? You got like a 38-year-old Kevin Garnett. They were what, a 7 seed? It's not like they even like gave it a run in the playoffs. They got punched in the first round.
Hey, those Brooklyn Net teams were fun, man.
Two times they've done this. It just hasn't worked out. Two times.
Time. And now the Rockets are going to be like this.
Whatever.
I don't know. But anyway, if you thought that Drew Holiday was going to play for the Portland Trail Blazers this season, like even when the Dame trade got announced and everyone was flip-flopped and Drew was going to Portland, everyone was like, there's no way he plays for him. He's definitely getting traded to a contender. And the perfect fit was the Boston Celtics. And then here comes Brad Stevens. And by the way, Brad Stevens, who do you – okay, let's just – I know, like, Brad Stevens went from coach to GM and got all these guys. But who do you think is the biggest loser of these three? Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, or Ime Udoka?
I mean, Grant Williams.
It's Ime.
Yeah. You know what? I might. You know what I'm gonna say? I'm gonna say Marcus Smart just solely off the fact that he was there this whole time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He got to the championship like they were right there, and they were like, you know what? Like, we're gonna get a better defensive scoring point guard.
Who'd they get the better one? They traded to Memphis, right? Who did they get for him?
Fuck, I don't even know. Let me look that up.
I don't think they got much. I know they ended up with. I know they ended up with Xavier Tillman, but there's really.
Marcus Smart traded to the Grizzlies. Oh yeah, my fault. No, it was a huge one.
Okay.
Smart was traded to the Grizzlies as part of a 3-team deal that sent Kristaps to Boston.
Okay, so he was a part. Of the Porzingis trade.
Yeah, this is like the worst trade ever. Like Marcus Smart exchanged to Boston for 23-24 first round pick, whatever. And the deal also sent Tyus Jones to Washington, and the Wizards just sent Kristaps to the Celtics, which. Oh my gosh!
Oh, Brad Stevens, you
masterclass.
You're a bad man. You are a bad man. You got to feel for Ime though. I feel like if Ime wasn't a fucking loser in the workplace, it could have been his because he went to the finals. Finals with them.
You're right.
But we could say poor Ime all we want. But again, shout out Brad Stevens for being like, you know what, Joe Mazzulla's the guy. And Joe Mazzulla has to be one of the biggest psychopaths I think I've ever seen in my life. Have you seen what this guy does?
Yeah, so the first quarter they had 20-point swing. It was
He also watches The Town 4 times a week. Like 4 times a week he watches The Town. He took jujitsu to be able to stop stop chewing gum during games. That's number two. Number three, he never goes through revolving doors. Never goes through revolving doors because he always says if you're stuck there, you're just a sitting duck waiting to be attacked. Number four, he always sits looking at the door at a restaurant because you never know. He also said once, "How could you not?" This list goes on. How could you not look at Fenway Park and be like, I could rob this place? Meanwhile, there's a movie with Matt Damon coming out like in a couple of weeks, basically about a heist at Fenway Park and how robbable it is.
I mean, all you gotta do is just listen to one of his post-game interviews where he's just like, I mean, they told him, they were like, oh, this is the first time ever. It's two African-American coaches in the NBA Finals. And you know what he said after that? He goes, oh. I wonder how many of them are Christian, and then sat there for like 15. Like, it was like It felt like an eternity. It was like a 5-10 second pause, and no one said a word. It was dead silent. And he just straight faced it. He was like, "I wonder how many of them are Christian," and then just sat there for like 5 seconds and just stared.
Do you remember when Kate and Will went to the Celtics game and some report, some like BuzzFeed reporter like got into the press room and was like, "This is an unrelated basketball question, but your thoughts on being in front of the royal family?" And he goes, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph." Just like straight face, stone cold, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you're talking about? By the way, this guy coached the entire playoffs off of a torn meniscus.
What a win.
What a win. Big Al Horford gets his ring.
Best 3-point pursuit. 3-point shooting percentage in NBA Finals history per series, by the way. Just a heads up, Al Horford, 56.7%, made 9 threes in the series.
I'll just ask this. I'll just ask you this. And get ready, because it's a hot one. Is Al Horford
a Hall of Famer? Yes. No. He's close, but no. No.
Well, here's the thing with the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Everyone gets in, I know.
No, that... But it also goes into account what you did in college as well. So,
all right.
Here's the thing. When you look at what Al Horford did at Florida, win back-to-back national championships.
It's definitely up in the air.
It ups the ante. It raises his case a
Chauncey Billups just got in. Like, I love Chauncey, but come on. Come on.
It took Dennis Johnson like 30 years to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but I don't know.
We'll see.
It's up in the air. I mean, everyone makes it, so we'll see.
Yeah,
that's the easiest Hall of Fame to make.
It is, sadly, but and with like the discourse that this sport has, it should be the hardest. But
it should 100% be the hardest, especially because how many minimal guys you can keep on a roster. I mean, think of every other sport. MLB, there's like 100 guys. NHL,
40.
it feels like 100 guys.
40, but close enough.
Yeah, but still, and then you go NHL, I know it's still what, you only have 21 rostered, but still 21 guys compared to the fucking 12, 13 in the NBA is just, I don't know. I think the NBA should be the hardest one to get into because of the minimal players they've had, but at the same time, it's like, they're all just like, nah, fuck it, everyone gets in. I mean, that's just how it goes.
That's honestly how it is. Trying to think of something else here. For the Celtics, because I had a thought in mind that I just lost it.
Well, congrats to them. Fuck whatever. Them.
Oh, I know what I wanted to show. There's a tweet. The Athletic made a tweet, basically.
The Athletic knows shit, by the way. Fuck them. They don't know shit.
wow. Basically, just laughing at my misery and poverty of not having a championship-winning team. The Athletic tweeted, February 3rd, 2019. That was the date of the Patriots Super Bowl 53 win, the last title Boston won before the Celtics winning. That 1,962-day span is the second longest title drought since the Celtics, Bruins, Patriots, and Red Sox all existed. Oh, the horror.
When's the last one we had? 9, and I hated it. That's just New York.
Oh, nine. No, Giants.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that one either.
I did. The Giants beating the Patriots, but I mean, after the Giants in 2012, I think that's it. 2013, nothing. I think like the closest that we've ever gotten was
the 2017. Mets.
The Mets. Shit, sorry.
Was it.
Making the World Series. Yeah, that's it, really.
And that was what, almost 10 years ago now?
Yeah, almost. Jesus, that was almost fucking 10 years ago.
Mm hmm.
Oh my God!
David Wright was starting at third in that World Series. Come on,
Jesus Christ! Oh my God!
Yeah, now David Wright was starting at third in that World Series, and I had a legit conversation about when his jersey is going to be thrown in the rafters for the Mets when they're going to retire that number. That's how you know we're getting old.
in other NBA, so yeah, whatever. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics. Fuck you. Whatever.
Congrats to Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, Pascal Siakam staying with the Indiana Pacers. It looks, I believe it was a
4-year, 189.5, something like that.
Ooh. Let's find this out. and I just had Woj's fucking tweet up, and now I lost it. Here we go. Pascal Siakam, because this is still technically the moratorium, so nothing official yet, but Pascal Siakam plans to sign a $189.5 million contract with the Indiana Pacers to stay. This felt pretty clear. Watching Pascal in the playoffs all year, it's basically seemed like he's found his fitting here.
That's his home.
It's his home. It's his home now. I think that I still think the Pacers need a shutdown three.
Yep. And I was just going to say they need a wing defender.
they need a wing defender.
You know what they need, Stan? They need a defender, because there's no way there's no way going into this season with the same style that they played, the same style that only two teams in the NBA played, by the way. I just want to put this out there.
Yes.
One being the Pacers, the other team being the Detroit Pistons. So you're rolling really at two complete opposite ends here. It worked, but this feels like an Atlanta Hawks thing where you're going to have to adapt, because there's no way in hell that if they do the same thing again, they end up in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Here's the thing, like, they got good players to build around, though, like Nembhard and, of course, Halliburton.
Obviously, but get a wing defender, somebody to play some fucking defense, because, again, I'm just saying, this isn't going to work out again.
Someone this isn't going to work out like to mind.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. That Windhorse comment made it very interesting, because
what I heard was he was unhappy with the clause in his contract, where the injury clause, right? Where if he doesn't play a certain number of games, he doesn't get paid.
And now here's the thing. I get it, because the guy struggled to stay on the floor when we traded for him. But at the same time, you got to put into account your record when he was playing for you guys.
Yeah.
Like that. And plus, you traded two people that you were intending to build the franchise around, and then I don't think you want to give up a guy that you – I don't think you want to give away two guys that you intended to build the franchise around.
For a rental?
For a rental, exactly. For a rental.
We'll see. I mean
– I don't know.
I feel like they're going to –
On the other hand –
Stan, you know the Knicks are going to nick, though. The Knicks are going to nick.
Shut the fuck up. On the other hand, Isaiah Hartenstein, it seems like the Thunder are going to throw $100 million at him to be their sixth man. And to be honest, it's sad, but it's a perfect fit. It is a perfect fit for Isaiah Hartenstein.
That raises the question, who's coming in for you?
It depends on who we draft with that. With one of our two first round. Well, here's the thing. One guy that I want with our first round pick.
It's a little bit of a weak draft, though. I think besides Alexander Sarr, is there really a big, huge center prospect that you're kind of.
I mean, we can. Don't make me say it, because I will. I will. Don't get me wrong. Edie.
Exactly. I knew exactly what you were going to say. It's exactly what you were going to say. And that's fine, but is that really the guy you want to...
Filipowski? Oh my god, if he goes to the Knicks, I'm going to shoot myself.
DJ Burns, play a little small ball.
Can you imagine DJ Burns on a Tom Thibodeau Rand team? would die.
Bro lost 40 pounds in the offseason. He's looking good.
Not Ozempic. Not Ozempic.
Exactly. This is all natural here. This is all natural.
That is cruel reporting. Just go, hey, I lost 40 pounds. Not on Ozempic, by the way. Ozempic.
Everyone's on Ozempic, so obviously it's...
Unreal. But all right, one guy that I want the Knicks to get in the draft, since it's in like the topic right now, Ryan Dunn from Virginia is a Tom Thibodeau wet dream. The guy's a fucking small forward. He can defend. Plus, he's already knows defense from playing fucking Virginia basketball. So,
But Justice Winslow's a Tom Thibodeau wet dream. I mean, come on. I mean, we don't know what the hell's gonna happen. think of a guy getting picked. Exactly.
Tom Thibodeau. That's literally what I said when I traded him. I was like, we literally just got Luol Deng. Like, 6 foot
exactly
nine,
what you got.
Forward, British. I'm like, this is literally Luol Deng.
I completely forgot. Your new center, Joakim Noah, is going to be starting at the five for you guys going into the season.
Yeah. D Rose, and then we got Ben Gordon, a shooting guard. And then we have
somehow get Jimmy Butler would be awesome.
Oh my, yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, but Hartenstein seems like a perfect fit. I don't know what we do with a center.
You're not getting Jared Allen.
Yeah, that was going to be the funniest outcome, honestly, if we just traded for Jared Allen.
No.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. That'd be awesome. That'd honestly be awesome. But yeah. We also have to go into account that Julius Randle hopefully will be back. I don't know why there's trade rumors with Julius Randle right now, but
what do you even get for him?
I don't know.
Where does he even go? Like Portland?
Who would we get for?
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of guys like that's teams that would want him, because he's a ball dominant sort of player. Obviously, you got Brunson now going to take a point. He's clearly your best player. So I don't know how they're going to feed off each other. Maybe you want more of like obviously you're not getting Evan Mobley, but somebody who's defensive minded, who can move the ball in the post, a guy that you know you can kind of work through. I feel like that'd be beneficial. Grant.
Jeremy Grant?
Yeah, Jeremy Grant. Sorry, I don't know why I said Jeremiah.
Hopefully my mic doesn't unplug when I do this. All right, word. Ooh, thank God. That was clutch. Blanking. Yeah, I think that's enough NBA, because just the thought of losing OG Anunoby right now is not...
sickening.
Yeah, I got a weird feeling in my stomach.
There's going to be a lot of moves this offseason, to be honest. I feel like it's going to be a huge one.
And if LeBron declines that option?
What the hell is LA going to... This is why LA, we say this constantly, is the most interesting team in sports, because they don't have a head coach right now. LeBron's not locked in. I have no idea what the hell they're going to do.
Not a clue. Not a clue at all. All right. That's enough NBA. We will talk more NBA next week, but more draft focused. NHL. Stanley Cup. He's a bad man. Connor McDavid.
Woo! Nick fucking Jesus. I actually am
it's a new series. Hey, honest to God, I swear to God, I seriously think this is going to seven.
They're going back to Edmonton. So do I. I think they get it done in Edmonton.
It's going back to Florida. It's going back to Sunrise in a game seven. And I'm going to say it right now. And if you're telling me
3-0, they're going to come back from, really? Like, I feel like it's going to happen.
They're going to fucking do this. I'm seriously like, as soon as it went down like 3-0, I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, all right, shit. And then Game 5 happened. They win 8-1. I was like, all right, this is the classic, like, you know, gentleman sweep.
But then they go into Game 6, they look like a completely different team.
I find out that it's 3-0, because I was watching the Yankees during this, if I'm being honest. I find out it's 3-0. I was like, okay. And then they cut it to 3-2, and I was like, all right, I got to fucking turn this on. I was like, I got to see what happens here. The play that Matthew Tkachuk made. And now I know it's irrelevant because the puck literally landed on McDavid's stick and he scored. But what if if Florida went down and scored, that honestly, top five Stanley Cup game ever.
Yeah.
McDavid robbed us, but who cares? He's been like doing this on a bum hand too, which makes it even funnier that like he's like doing this. And he's only getting assists. I know he had two goals. Or did he have two goals? Yeah, he had two goals last game.
Yeah, four points in fucking game five. What do you have in game six? Or, I mean, game four.
Game four, I mean, they had eight goals. So
he had like 7 points. I mean, this dude's so unbelievable. It's actually like mind-boggling.
He had 4 points in game four, and then he had, let's see.
Four in game five.
Oh, my God.
He has 42 points in the playoffs.
Yeah, this is the greatest athlete in the world that we are seeing right now.
It's
Connor McDavid.
People who don't watch hockey, like, yeah, I understand. Like, maybe not at their respective sport. Like, guys like Verstappen are unbelievable. I understand that. Like, people who watch F1 and
Verstappen.
And I get that.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I'm just saying. And then you guys got guys like Scotty and, you know, that cricket dude that's apparently unbelievable. But out of the four North American sports, and honestly could be every sport, if you don't watch hockey, you just don't understand how ridiculously – you don't get it. Like, you really don't – because things he does, like, to a non-hockey fan, is just like, oh, that looks sick. It's like, I guess everyone can do that. No. No one can do what he does. Not a single player in the league. It's unbelievable. Guys like Kucherov, who are so skilled. Guys like Pastrnak, who are so skilled. Guys, every guy in the league, top guys that are so skilled, it's night and day against McDavid. He's just that good.
Yeah. And I know we mentioned this in the open, but it's McDavid's Conn Smythe to lose right now. Like, this is
they're losing in the series.
They're down 3-2. Like, Connor McDavid is currently the betting favorite to win the Conn Smythe.
The playoff assist record by Gretzky, which, for people don't watch hockey, breaking a Gretzky record is just Barry Bonds' home run record. Like, it just doesn't happen. You don't break Gretzky records.
Once you break a Gretzky record, like, you're already considered top five.
In the adapted point value for, like, if you base points in a playoff run off of, like, the modern era, like, obviously there's less goals scored compared back in the day. Yeah, I think he has, like, 8 more points than the guy behind him in a playoff run for points. It's unbelievable what this dude's doing. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Like, this is – it's insane. Like, I really want to see Florida, like, this would – nothing would make me happier.
And, like, I get it because you're a Ranger fan, but, like, even if, like, even
I just hate Panther fans. Sorry. I hate them.
I get that, too. I'm just saying, like, as an unbiased view here, like, I just, for some, like, everyone wants to see McDavid win, like, who's not a Florida fan, obviously. Yeah. But, like, at an unbiased view, like, going into the series, like, you were like, oh, like, you know, Florida, they're probably going to cakewalk through here. It's like, holy shit, dude. Like, this...
it's a full 180.
Unbelievable. It's
a 180 right now.
Unbelievable.
Right now, Edmonton is leaning. I'll say it's leaning on the Edmonton side. Momentum.
Leaning. It is completely on the Edmonton. They're going back to Edmonton. They just won another game. McDavid's got 8 points in the last 2 games. Stan, if he gets another 4 points... 12 points in 3 games is a lot more points than more than half the guys who played in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's in 3 games.
I know. I want to see.
But here's my question to you.
Okay, yeah.
How do you slow him down? How do you stop him? Can you?
You don't. You just got to pray.
Yeah, so is that the answer? Is that where we're at right now? It's just you got to pray? Because this is like a LeBron type thing right now. Like, you're just like, holy shit.
It's not like you got to pray, but Florida has to do what they did in the first 3 games, and that's kind of shut down the big 3. That's what they did. There wasn't much Draisaitl noise in from games 1-3. There wasn't really much of anything, really.
Bouchard,
nothing really. And then they're basically – Florida in games 4 and 5, and I wouldn't say the entirety of game 5 because they were able to come back into it. Florida was basically letting this be a track meet, which is Edmonton's game. They want to play fast.
Why would you want to do that?
Exactly. I don't think that they wanted to do that.
I don't think they have a choice.
That's not a choice that you make. It's just that you have to find a way to control that pressure because right now – and we've been saying this all playoffs, the Edmonton power play has been hands down the best power play in the playoffs all playoffs.
If you can't stay 5-on-5, they're going to kill you. That's just how it is. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you on the power play. They're going to kill you on the PK. They got a shorthanded goal the other game.
Two shorthanded goals in 2
exactly.
games.
Exactly. Their PK was going into this series, their penalty kill was 2 and their power play was 1. And that's not just – and I'm not just saying because there's 2 teams up. That was the whole playoffs. So you're going against probably the best special teams team we've seen maybe since Tampa in like 2021. I mean, Stan, right now, give me – if you can have a comparable series in any sport to this series right now, what does this feel like? Because I've won so in mind.
What do you say? Wait, sorry.
Like, if you compare like this series to any other series in any other sport, like in the past recent year, like I – this feels to me like 2016 Cavs versus Golden State. Like McDavid is just backpacking this thing, and he's like, fuck it, I'll do it. Like, I got a bum hand, I don't care, I'll do it.
Exactly. I mean, this is probably going to be the best series that we've seen in a while. If we're like, because last year's NBA Finals, Last year's Stanley Cup final sucked. Like,
yep.
I'm sorry, but it did. It sucked.
Yeah.
This year's NBA finals kind of did suck too, if I'm not.
Yeah, well, it was clear cut I was going to win.
I'm not sugarcoating it. And then this one, if Edmonton, I just want a 7-game series. I just want a 7-game series for the purity of the game.
I'm at a point right now, Stan, where I don't see a world where this doesn't go to 7. Like, I don't see Florida going into Edmonton and taking care of business whatsoever. I think Edmonton is one of the rowdiest fan bases in the league. The last time Edmonton was in the Cup was 07. Like, yeah. It's been a while.
Did they win that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That was the Laviolette year.
You're right. They lost to Carolina. You're right. So obviously they're cup hungry. I mean, these fans are restless. This is their national sport, hockey. Like you're going into a place where it's going to be hostile.
It's a whole new series, and I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
All right, game 6 Friday, Edmonton. I mean,
Edmonton's winning.
We're just going to hammer Edmonton. All right,
Edmonton's winning.
Other hockey news.
Before we get to the crazy one, we'll get the Isles one out of the way, because it's very – we got to talk Barkley Goodrow a little bit. Isles re-signed Kyle MacLean to a 3-year extension. What I've heard – I mean, you're never going to know because it's Lou. You don't know anything until September, but from what I'm hearing, I heard it was 3 years, $775K AAV. So he's just making the minimum. What I think with the cap going up, I don't think that's really true. I think my ballpark estimate is he got 1-1 for, 3-year AAV, which is great. He was a great fourth liner. Matt Martin's pretty much out the door, so I really like that extension. Mackey had a great year. So Lou already making good moves to start the offseason. Next stop, Nikolaj Ehlers. Let's get it done.
All right. Rager.
Goodrow. Jesus Christ, Barkley Goodrow.
All right, so it comes out, Elliot Friedman with a classic tweet, Goodrow waved, just...
Saw what I was working.
I'll be honest, I was kind of shocked. I'm shocked that they didn't find a trade partner. But then, San Jose claims them. Larry Brooks of the New York Post comes out with an article basically saying that Chris Jury is having this cutthroat attitude and he loves it. Chris Jury, it was later revealed that the San Jose Sharks were on Barkley Goodrow's don't trade list.
No, yeah, so he had a 15-team no trade clause, and you could pick 15 teams in the league that you don't want to get moved to. And from what we're hearing, San Jose was like almost top of that list.
Yes.
and Chris Jury just said, fuck it. You don't want to get traded there? We don't want you here. You're waived and you're going there anyway.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's a decision that had to be made solely based on the fact that like you can't just be eating his money.
Yeah.
In the regular season, yeah, but in the playoffs, six playoff goals in like 18 games, like that's pretty. You have to admit that's pretty fucking good.
But where's his spot on the team? Exactly.
There is none. With this, I think that it's telling me that Chris Jury is not content with running this like core team back. I know they just re-signed him, but honestly, they re-signed him that contract solely based on making it easier to trade him. I think Kaapo Kakko's next. Kaapo Kakko is easily next.
I think the Kakko deal sort of, to me, feels like a sign-and-trade kind of thing. I know I talked to Aiden O'Connor, shout out Aiden O'Connor, big Ranger fan. He is one of the guys, he's like a homegrown guy. Aiden, on his deathbed, we'll say that Kakko's a good hockey player. I'm telling you right now, this is pointless because, you look at Neil Yakupov and what he was doing and his stats because he was getting puck fed. Obviously, he was getting, ton of minutes in the power play, whatever. But Neil Yakupov's stats compared to Kakko's are so much better point production wise. And that guy sucked. So, I mean, I understand the plus minus is there and I understand his value on the third line. Second overall pick, dude. He's got some value right now left. You move him now.
They did not draft him to be a checking third line player.
Exactly.
They did not draft him second overall to be a checking third line player.
With his value right now, you can get the same thing he's doing production wise and probably a little bit more in return.
So there's really. So obviously, it seems like they're going to replace Goodrow with one of either Edstrom or Brodzinski full time.
I think Brodzinski steps in there 100%. I think it's Brodzinski's. Yeah.
Lindgren and Schneider are probably going to cost like six to seven.
Combined? I would say, yeah. Combined. Yeah, I would say probably like 7.75. Yeah, cap went up, so okay. Everyone's going to want more money.
Yes. This will leave Jury $6.5 million to get a top six right wing.
Well, here's the thing. This is exactly why I think Kapo goes, because you just signed Kapo to, what, a two-something extension? Or is it three?
I think it was only for one.
1 year, right? But it was...
Yeah, what? Oh, I think it was like 2.1 or something like that.
2.1, 2.3, something. That'll free up... You're already now at 8.5 if you move him, which I think they will. And then, like you said, you have Edstrom, Brodzinski to fill that role. Throw another guy, young guy in that wing.
1 year, 2.4.
Exactly. You got guys waiting to be called up right now. I mean, obviously there would be an immediate impact. You got, what's his face? I came in a blank on his name. Oh my God.
Cooley?
No, your real top guy. Othman. Othman's chance, feels like this is sort of a role for him to jump in. Maybe get some minutes. Yeah, he's probably going to make the team here.
It does feel like the stars are aligning for Brendan Othman to start the year in the third line. Where he goes... Like, if we're talking, like, after the trade deadline, that's another thing. If he stays on the third line, fine. He's a young guy. But if he's really exceptionally performing and we don't really get that top right wing...
That's your guy?
Hey. That's your guy. Yeah. And maybe that's why they've been so... Maybe that's why the right wing has been such a revolving door on that Kreider-Zibanejad line. Because maybe they want to see Brendan Hoffman out there. They think, who knows? But
you free cap, you got guys like Gensel in free agency. That's all I'm, you know.
I don't think Gensel's going to go.
I mean, I'm just saying, guys like Gensel, you move cap. I mean, it's like Timo Teravainen. Because if you move Kapo's deal, you already have 6.5, you said, to play with. Now you're getting like 9 million to work with. Mm-hmm. 9 million is a huge jump. The cap went up to 88. Obviously, people are going to want a little bit more, but $9 million opens up some doors for you. Plus, you move Kako. You get that $9 million extra in cap. You re-sign Igor this year. It makes it a little easier going into next year if you don't make any moves, you know, to deal with that $9 million. Fair. You get more cap going into next year with that $9 million already, you know, put into Igor. So now it's only, what, like 1.5, nah, probably like 2.5 you're going to have to give out adjusted. So obviously, you know, there's probably some moving pieces here that we don't see. But I think this is Awesome's year to step up. I think this you step in, put him on that first line. I think he'll eventually be on that top wing guy that you need. We've been talking about him for, what, 4 years now?
When did we draft him? 21, 22 did we draft him?
3 years now?
When did we draft Brendan Othman? He was drafted in the first round in 2021.
Yeah, so we've been talking about him for 3 years. I mean, yes. I think this is really his chance. Because how old is he? He's 21 years old? Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Do it.
Let's see right now. 16th overall pick. What was his points last year in he was playing?
Hartford.
Yeah, I'll pull it up I got it. Hartford last year. Yeah. Obviously, 67 games, 21 goals, 28 assists, 49 points. Like, it's not bad. I mean, his plus minus but Hartford wasn't great. So,
yeah.
Give him a shot.
We'll see. I mean, we'll figure out what happens. Two guys I'd like the Rangers to look at if we're still looking at top six right wingers. Tyler Toffoli I would love Tyler Toffoli.
Bertuzzi.
And I'd also love Tyler Bertuzzi as well.
Bertuzzi's a rat, and that would be such a good fit for you guys because you'd need that little extra scrappiness.
We need fucking oomph. Yeah,
that would have helped against Florida a ton.
It would a lot. All right. Other NHL news. Jacob Markstrom. The Devils have their goalie. Did not take much. it did not.
And you know what? The fact that it didn't take much is a clear-cut sign that Calgary is blending this thing up. Whatever have going on is...
I figured once. I figured that once they fired Daryl Sutter, it was like,
they were cleaning it up. But still, now, he got moved. So here was the Markstrom deal in total. He got moved for Kevin Ball, a first-round pick, and... That was it, and the Calgary actually retains 33% of his salary. So the Devils aren't even paying him his full AAV. Obviously, he didn't have a great year last year. I just want to ask you this, because, you know, he is a bit of a streaky goalie. We've seen him, you know, 3 years ago, he led the league in shutouts. You know, he was great in the playoffs, and then the year after he was and the year after that, he was great. Do you think this is the long-term solution for them? Because I feel like he's been a little overhyped these past few years. I know he's still a good goalie.
I don't necessarily think that this is a like a long term, but it definitely helps them because compared to the goal.
Yeah, but does this push them to the next level? It's sort of what, you know what I mean? Like they
We'll see.
Jump up again. I know they're a young team, but we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
They're a young team. They have a structured coach in Sheldon Keefe. Like this is really.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, healthier.
I wouldn't necessarily call this year make or break for Jersey, but this is definitely a.
They're making moves that it's you know, come on, make something happen here.
Yeah, because
if we're talking metropolitan area, I mean,
yes,
like. Right now, I still think Isles and Rangers are better than them on paper. I still do.
Ooh,
but
all right, all right. We'll see. We'll figure this. I do think the Islanders improve, especially now that you have Patrick Waugh.
Hell fucking yes, Dan. And we signed Ilya Sorokin's KHL
goalie
coach.
There were games that you guys lost under Lane that you definitely should have. That
God.
You would have won with Patrick Waugh.
Lane is just so. Passive, like it just he like never got angry, like nothing, like there was no emotion behind the bench. Like, you know, he reminded me a ton of like Jack Capuano. Like, Capuano was just ugh, like I didn't like it's oh now you got same guy back there.
Oh my god,
but no, we got our guy, we're doing good.
All right, other hockey news, Pierre-Luc Dubois going to Washington for Darcy Kemper, 1-1 trade.
This guy's trade value. It's crazy to think of where he was at 2 years ago, trade value wise. You're like, oh, like we want top prospects in return, picks, whatever. This is a top number, true number one center. Next year, whatever, a little less value, gets a little bit less of a contract. Obviously needed a bit of a bounce back. Didn't have it. Okay.
Did not have it.
All he did was complain and be a diva, and now he's getting traded straight up for Darcy Kemper. I don't think anything changes. I really don't. I think we're going to look back at this in the middle of the year and be like, what the hell was Washington thinking when this guy is minus 22 with 18 points in 40 games played? So that's all I got to say.
It does prove that Charlie Lindgren is now the guy in goal for Washington. Seems like he's deserved it, I will say.
Yeah, but again, it's just like Charlie Lindgren, like that's your showstopper and like you don't really have anything
exactly.
in front of him.
Exactly. All right. That's going to wrap up hockey.
One more. It's a little less important, but Ty Dellandrea from Dallas Stars got traded for a fourth-round pick to San Jose. So San Jose is making some moves.
Weird. All right. Why? I still can't get over why they took a trade. I'm happy about it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm happy that we have, like, money to spend now and not, like, signing, like, these, like, veteran guys on minimum contracts.
Yeah, well, I think it's a huge thing for San Jose to reach this cap floor. You got to think their first line is every guy in their top six is going to be like 20 years old. They're fucking
well, 19. I'm a fucking Backlund now.
Exactly. It's just like, well, you know what I mean? And that's so funny that the GM came out and said, he's like, oh, we talked to Macklin celebrating, like Macklin's family, like getting them all set in. And then he was like, did I just say Macklin? Like, this is like a week before the draft.
Oh, my God. All right. That's enough hockey. Let's go to baseball. The Grimace. People on Twitter are calling it the Gay Grimace Mets because they changed their Pride. They changed their logo on Twitter to Pride. It's obviously Pride Month. And Grimace throws out the first pitch, and then everything is just. You know who would have loved this team? You know who would have loved the Gay Grimace Mets?
Oh.
Mark Canha. He would have loved being on that team.
I don't know if I would have loved having him.
Vibes are high in Queens. And now you're...
I'm feeling great.
I know you lost. So now you're like...
We won the series.
You won the series.
7-1 in the last eight.
You now go up against Chicago. You're off today. You're going to Wrigley. The Cubs have not been... This is a collapse from the Cubs. A collapse. No bullpen. No hitting. I think you're – honestly, I know that Imanishota is starting on Friday, and I don't want to say nothing's guaranteed in this league. The only game where you really – if you're a Cubs fan, the only game where you really feel like you have a clear-cut win is when Shota Imanaga is on the mound.
He is 7-1 with a 1.89 ERA, and he is going up against Jose Quintana.
Who
is 2-4 with a 5.
Yeah.
So,
like, you got, then you go up against Jameson Taillon, who's been eh. Like, he hasn't been the greatest. And then Javier Assad, who, I mean, you could call him the second best starter in the team, but there's really, like, this Cubs team, and we feared this when they signed Bellinger. It was like, was Bellinger going to be the Bellinger that we saw last year? He has not.
Nope.
Seiya Suzuki has not been good. Dansby Swanson has been has not been good.
And like, you know what, Stan?
On top of that, with a horrible bullpen, a god awful bullpen.
And
this
you
is
know
not
what?
Good for the Cubs.
Yeah, and it's the great. It's great.
A good shot at taking two out of three.
Well, here's the thing. That's what I want to get at. Right now, the Mets are one game out of the third wild card spot in the NL, which is insane to even say.
That's insane. They're
going up against Chicago, who is also one game out of the NL third wild card spot. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but by God, if the Mets sweep this series, they go what?
That feeling's back. Like,
they go to 500. And they probably take, and then they probably take the third wild card, and now they're going in against the Yankees in a very meaningful series. I don't baseball New York
is gonna mean something.
It's
gonna mean something. That feeling's been restored. Like, this is
Stan, that rant I went on a few weeks ago. I'm back, baby. I'm all at Sean McPhone's healthy. Everyone looks good. Lindor's batting like 400. The Mets are 19-2 in the last 21 games Francisco Lindor has played. Oh, I'm sorry, Francisco Alvarez. I'm
big
all in
too. Now that Alvarez is back, I think
Starling
that there's
the truth. Starling Marte is the goddamn truth, Stan. I mean, give the man NL MVP already. This guy saving the Mets. I'm so back.
The Mets are saved. If they go into that Yankee series in a playoff spot, oh my God, City Field will be like fucking
erupt.
It's gonna be bumping. It's going to be bumping. I can't wait. Oh, my God.
Pete Alonso's hitting.
Alonso was on fire. Like,
unbelievable.
Unreal. I mean, now we go to the Yankees. And don't get me wrong. We've been good. And this is not me being like the classic, like, woe is me Yankee fan where, like, we're 30 games over 500,
yeah,
but we're so terrible.
Stan, like, you've been a little better than good. You guys are 51-25.
first team to 50 wins, by the way.
Yeah, you're the first team in the MLB.
What the hell are we going to do with the infield? Because right now is, it seems like the only clear-cut guy in the infield right now is Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Glaber hasn't really been cutting in the field since LeMahieu was
god awful.
Rizzo, I mean, he's hurt. He's going to be out for maybe like four to 6 weeks, I believe, but they moved him to the 60-day, so he's not going to be back for a while. So right now, your first baseman's Ben Rice, who honestly has looked pretty good.
Eating like, bowls of rice.
Yeah, fucking the results really haven't been there, but with yesterday, he was hitting the ball well. So he was hooking him some foul. There was one that I thought was going to be gone, and I was like, oh, fuck. But and then DJ LeMahieu has been so terrible. He's been so awful.
He's getting to that age.
Tim, I don't think that he's hit a ball that's left the infield. Like, he hasn't had an extra base hit since he's come back, and that was his thing.
Doubles.
Those 2 years, extra base hits, doubles, hitting with runners in scoring position. It seems like that magic is gone with DJ LeMahieu, and you badly need a third baseman. I mean, we can live with Gleyber Torres. This is a good opportunity for Ben Rice right now, because if you ball out before the trade deadline, you might have Brian Cashman thinking you might be the first baseman of the future.
True, but now let me ask you this, because you are 51-25. Obviously, you know, you might add something at the deadline. Any third basemans that come to mind that you're attracted to?
I mean, the one that I don't really like want him, but because it's kind of short. I wouldn't mind Ryan McMahon out of Colorado, because he's more of like it fits power lefty.
I was gonna say that's probably
perfect for Yankee Stadium. Perfect for Yankee Stadium. But here's the thing: it's just that I just don't buy it with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't buy it. Because, like, it's Colorado. And it's that high elevation, so you know, like, the numbers are inflated. And I know the Rockies fucking suck, but Hold still. I know the Rockies suck, but, again, I really – I just don't see it. But maybe Ryan McMahon's a good arm to keep an eye on. Also, the bullpen. The bull – ugh.
Michael Tonkin, not he's acting up?
No. Michael Tonkin has been, like, our best reliever. Like, I'm not
– I fucking hate that. I hate that that's – I knew that was going to happen. You know what, though? Fair enough. You guys take Tonkin. We'll take Torrens. Luis Torrens has been – I don't know.
Torrens has been all right. Yeah, but here's the thing. Is Clay Holmes a reliable closer? The guy's got more hits given up than innings pitched. Like, that's really
– You know what? Do what you did with Diaz. Give him 15 days off.
Yeah, they might put him on Phantom IL, but right now, this bullpen's a problem, and that's something that the Yankees pride themselves on. You look at those all-time great Yankee teams, their bullpen was shut down. Like, that's something the Yankees pride themselves on.
So and are you going right now, after a guy like Mason Miller?
No. That's going to take Dominguez. That's going to take a lot.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up Jason Dominguez, who's hurt right now, by the way.
Go get Clase.
I
don't give up.
No, the fucking Guardians are like
I know.
The top three team in the
I'm
sport.
I'm fucking with you. Yeah. My buddy that I used to, my old roommate, shout out Matty Ice, dude literally preached to me all the time how the Yankees would make a two-man move to get Jose Ramirez and Emmanuel Clase. Bro lives in Fantasyland.
But two relievers that come to mind right now, honestly, three. Tanner Scott from the Marlins, that'd be awesome if we got him.
That would be good.
Tanner Scott from the Marlins, Garrett Crochet from the White Sox, and another guy from the White Sox, Michael Kopech.
I was just gonna, he was about to be like, go after Kopech if you're gonna go to the White Sox. What do they have to lose, the White Sox? Like, at this point,
nothing.
So nothing. why not just poach him?
Yeah, honestly, like, again, would not be surprised. I'm blanking on what I just said. Another problem with the Yankees. Catcher. Jose Trevino cannot throw for the life of him.
Nope.
The Red Sox stole 9 bases.
That's absurd.
How the fuck did people not realize it took until June to just steal the fuck out of, like, just to steal bases? Right now...
Go grab Navarez. He's so good at that.
Here's the thing. Even funnier, yesterday, the Yankees did a pitch out. Trevino was starting a catcher last night. They did a pitch out and still couldn't – and Trevino still could not throw the guy out. Like, that's a problem when your catchers cannot throw somebody out. And I'm kind of just – I get it. It's one series. The Orioles are good. It's a tough division. But we got to come out and win. It was nice to see Garrett Cole come back. I completely forgot about that.
Good first start.
Nice to see Cole. Good first start. They just got to build him up and then see what happens. But right now, I'm kind of
– How many days left by the Mets?
They got the Braves this weekend. And then I believe they'd be – I believe they're off Monday.
Oh, my God. They play each other in 5 and 6 days. Is he scheduled to start against the Mets?
Who, Cole?
Yeah.
Let's see. So it was Cole last night. So then tonight it's – or today, it's Luis Gil, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Nestor Cortez. Yeah, he's lined up.
That's what I'm saying.
He's lined up to start that first game in Queens.
It might be Seve.
Is it going to be Severino? I mean, we could look at the Mets thing right now. Oh, my God. Severino's just going to fucking shut him down. Let's see. Who started last game for you guys? Might have been Severino. Oh, no. Manaea. So it might be, I think Severino might start game two for you then.
Yeah, because who's supposed to – yeah, it's McGill.
Although you guys are off today.
Yeah, so then and then
– Quintana, McGill.
McGill.
Peterson.
And then,
So it's probably going to be Manaea game one, and then Severino game two.
Holy shit, we're getting some matchups.
Severino is just gonna.
I hope it's somehow Culver Seve. That'd be such a great game.
Honestly, if they like bump him back, I wouldn't be shocked.
Seve's been our best pitcher, so
he has. Yeah. All right, let's go to U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau, 2-time U.S. Open champion. Rory, goddamn it, Rory!
What,
are you doing?
What the hell are you doing? In a goddamn putt.
You have one job to protect the tour.
You needed one good hole. And this is for the, this wasn't even, Stan, this wasn't even, yeah, the sanctity of the tour. This was on your shoulders.
Rory.
You've been pitching it and you lost.
Rory. Oh, no. It wasn't even like, you kind of felt it was coming because those tee shots on like 15, they were not good too. They were not good tee shots.
And 18, right? The fescue. And you're just like, well, this is it. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
Fuck. We're screwed.
It's a funny thing. It's not even like Bryson had a good tee shot either. That sand shot he hit was unbelievable. He just stepped up.
The bunker shot was unreal. The bunker shot was unreal. But this is really like, I can't believe it.
Does this go down as like one of the top blowups of all time?
It has to be a top 10 blowup since 2000. Definitely, it's definitely 100%. Top 10. Is it worse than Dustin Johnson?
I think it is.
Ooh,
especially because. I think, like you just said, all this stuff about the tour that he always preaches, he just, all the hype around him, he just announced that his divorce is off. Like, everything seemed like the cards were aligning. This is going to be a special moment for Rory. Like, he's going to bring it home, you know, do his thing, boom, get to 17. All right, you know, we got one more hole to work with here. Let's just finish it up nice, clean. Nope, that's not going to happen. Miss a three-footer. Oh, I lost.
Oh, it's over. Yeah, that's really all I got from the U.S. Open. Now Rory's going to take a couple weeks off. Is it bad of me to bet Rory to win the Open?
No.
Okay.
I think this is like an anger-filled round incoming.
Okay. Because it seems like he's not going to play until the Open.
I think this might be legit. Like, I'm not talking to anyone for like 3 weeks. Like
dark,
Mike,
darkness retreat.
Yeah, like some Mike Tyson bullshit.
Darkness retreat, call it. Yeah, so
him,
he
and,
takes, like,
him and Aaron Rodgers are going to go take whatever and go see the Hat Man.
Yeah. Takes a week off, takes like a month off, comes back at the Open, wins it. Can you imagine? Oh my God.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be incredible. Euros kicking off.
That time?
I have a big future, like a big time future on France to win the Euros. I've gotten basically everyone that I know involved in this future. Bit of a bad start. I know they won, but it came at a cost with Kylian Mbappe breaking his nose. He's going to miss the game against the Netherlands tomorrow. And
which is
a
tough
game.
One to miss. Yes. It's a real tough game to miss.
But I still like our chances.
I do too.
I still like our chances. We're hammering France. Two big ones tonight. England's
shout
going
out,
on right now.
I didn't see who it was, but the first MLS player ever to score in the Euros. I didn't see who that was.
Oh, it was Shaqiri.
Shout out him. Shout out Shaqiri. Like,
yeah, the ex-Liverpool star. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. England's currently up 1-0 on Denmark. Harry Kane with a goal from the box, so that's cool.
What's new?
Yeah, what else is new? Spain and Italy today as well.
That's gonna be a good one.
That's gonna be a fun one. Yeah, and then Slovenia and Serbia tied.
We got to get out to an MLS game.
We should.
Joe Tool probably get us free tickets. I'm not even kidding.
Perfect.
Because, again, another one. Shout out Joe Tool. Shout out Ryan Mara. Joe Tool's cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Starting right. This month for the Red Bulls because of the Euros. So he's been getting free tickets every Friday for their games. Figure that out.
All right. Good to know. I feel like we can't really go into much about the Euros since it's still late group stage.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really crazy is happening.
France plus 390.
Hammer it, baby.
Hammer it. All right. Moving on, what I saw, I have My first one I saw is it's got to be the Kendrick concert.
Yo, that was sick. That was so sick. I saw, oh my gosh. I actually, that is so funny you brought that up. I was texting people about that this morning. I was like,
I texted that to you. I know. With DeMar DeRozan.
Well, on stage right he's from LA, dude. He's got that. He's riding with Compton. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's insane. But the two tweets that I saw from this concert had funniest shit ever.
They played that like six times in a row.
Five,
whatever.
Some guy said, this is like We Are the World, but for hating a guy. Like, this is all just like hating Drake. And then someone else said, J. Cole got to feel like the teacher that was the runner-up to be on the Challenger space shuttle.
I've never heard anybody say anything like that, ever. The teacher was the runner-up of the Challenger. All right, but
rip, prayers. But there's
what the? I've never heard that one ever. All right.
The fact that, like, in unison, he had 20,000 people basically saying to Drake, "You're a fucking pervert."
Yeah, probably A minor, like five times in a row. It was so funny too for me.
Oh my God.
The crowd just kept saying, another one more time.
LeBron. I just know LeBron was just so upset that Savannah wouldn't let him on stage. I just know that would have happened. He just would have went on stage and just mumbled the words and just been like,
classic LeBron. Dude, I was watching like this KG podcast and he was just like, fuck it. Like, LeBron can do whatever the fuck he wants. Like, he want to stop the war right now, he'd probably be like, yo, chill out. And everyone would chill out.
Yeah.
Like, AG, honestly, chill out.
He's not wrong. people would definitely do that. My next one I saw, it involves family. So my family is definitely going to be listening to this. I don't mind. Tim, you're aware of the of old people on Facebook?
Oh, I am.
Okay. My grandpa's on Facebook. He's been on Facebook for a couple of years. He's learned the ways of social media. He thought the laughing emoji was a crying emoji. That took him 3 years to adapt.
Facebook for elderly is like Twitter for the middle-aged.
Yes. So my grandpa calls me. You're going to love this. My grandpa calls me and he's like, you're never going to believe who friended me on Facebook. I'm like, oh, who? He's like, Aaron Judge. And I'm like, oh, wow. I look at his account. It's some, like, it's clearly some guy pretending to be Aaron Judge. And
I mean, obviously.
But I just don't have the heart to tell him.
To tell him,
because
yeah.
He was just, I've never heard him so excited in my life where I was just like, I'm like, I can't do this. But like the fake Aaron Judge even DM'd him and was like, my grandpa was like, I've been a Yankee fan since 1946. He's like, I love my fans.
Like, oh my God. Like, it's like my dad on Twitter when he was tweeting about that what's his face not signing his 83 Mets ball. He's just like at them. I think I have the ball right over here. The ball might be right over here.
Oh my God.
Is it right? Hold on.
Jesus Christ.
No. What's this one? Is that Seaver? Or Glavin? I don't know. Nah, I don't have it on me.
He wasn't Met. That's right.
It's not even a Met. I just have so much signed memorabilia. So, shit, now we're talking about grandpas. My grandpa was a huge Sandy Koufax fan. He still has like a ton of signed Sandy Koufax memorabilia, game worn jersey signed, like all framed and everything in his house. Fingers crossed in the will. I'm kidding.
Don't get me wrong. I also think that with my grandpa's memory.
I love my grandpa.
I love him.
He's great.
It's great, but you know, I would just like to have, you know, like the New York Post cover of the Yankees winning the 96 World Series hung up in my
little Sandy Koufax memorabilia would be nice.
we're going to hell. Anyway, we're going to hell. My other one I saw, this is just funny. My cousin's kid. He's 5 years old, so he's like starting to like get into sports and shit. He went home one day and he said to his dad, my cousin, and he was like, oh, I'm a Denver Nugget fan now. They're like
me when I came home as a Cavs fan.
Yeah. Like, no, like this literally, and my cousin was like mortified. He's like, no, you're a fucking Knicks fan and you'll like it. Like you will. But he was like, I found out like this kid at school just like told him like the Denver Nuggets are like the greatest team ever. And he just thought that like the Nuggets were just like the Yankees of the NBA. And just like, just like they have 30 championships. It's only Jokic has been a force for 50 years.
So I bought, funny, now I don't know why I'm getting into this, but when I became a Cavs fan, I bought a sports almanac book from the Scholastic Book Fair. And it had, from the year prior, it had from the year prior all the stats and everything. So I just, you know, obviously I like sports. So I was reading it. And I got to the NBA standings. And I looked all the way to the bottom and Cavs had like 22 wins. And I just looked at that and I was like, that's my fucking team. Like, that's my team. I was like, I literally remember saying this, like, if I'm starting from anywhere, it's from the bottom all the way up. We're going down, we're going up.
And then he comes up to me, we're at like a family thing, he goes, because he wants to go to the Giant Jet preseason game, so like his dad's a Jet fan, and like all of our family are Giant fans, so he's like, so I'm like, oh Dylan, you want to go to the Giant Jet game? He's like, yeah. I'm like, who are you going to root for, the Giants or the Jets? He goes, both. I go, get the fuck out of my face right now.
You're not my cousin.
Stop it. No. I'm like, that's embarrassing.
It has to be. I just want them to have fun.
I just love how he just thinks that like the Denver Nuggets are just like the greatest team ever.
That's so like, funny. Like, I feel like there's no like real hatred.
It's okay though, because like, I had phases like when I was like 3 years old, I was just like going around like my living room being like, "Fuck, you're gonna love this." When I was like 3 years old, I was like, oh my God, the Boston Red Sox are like the greatest team ever.
Yeah. Like, how old is your cousin's kid? Eight?
Five.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say, when I was like six, I mean, I've always grown up, my room's painted blue, orange, and white. Like I've had to hate teams growing up.
Yeah.
I remember when I was like four, I remember doing Rangers sucks chants like at the Coliseum. Like I have just been a hater my whole life.
When I was five, like it was such like a mind fuck when the Tampa Bay Devil Rays became the Tampa Bay Rays, and I was just like, "This is."
I'm sure that's definitely what the Guardians was like.
No.
Oh, who they have too? Then they for a while.
Desmond Jennings.
Yeah, they had some Uptons. BJ.
They had a BJ.
BJ, yeah.
They had a beat or Melvin, whatever the fuck.
Who cares? They had so many guys.
what's his name? Johnny Gomes they had.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think.
Johnny Gomes or Carlos Pena gets on base or never got on base. They traded him. Oakland did.
Zobrist was there for a minute.
Zobrist was there early. Scott Kazmir was like their ace. This could be like an episode within itself, just like us just naming like random athletes.
David Lee Nix.
I did have a segment in mind, but we are almost at an hour and 15 minutes, so I guess I digress. We'll save it for next week. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Wow, that was embarrassing. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to subscribe to our new YouTube. Yes, you heard it here. New YouTube. Subscribe, please. Please, God, subscribe. Please. Tim's not even subscribed. So, Tim,
I'm subscribing.
You better subscribe so everyone else does. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars?
5 stars only. We will see you guys hopefully next week. We got to think of like a set schedule for the summer.
I know. You know, you want to do Mondays because I'm off?
Honestly, yeah. Screw it.
It's just easier. So then we can put it out Tuesday.
So easier to put it out Tuesday. Yeah, go Oilers.
Yes.
That's all I'm thinking about. Go Oilers.
Go Oilers.
NBA draft preview coming soon. Hopefully you guys can catch that. We'll see you guys Monday/Tuesday, whatever happens.
It'll be out.
It'll be out. That's all that matters. All right. Peace out, guys.